And wonderful to be with you today. In actual fact, I started when I got saved. I was 19 at Dunedin Teachers College, and the first church I went to was a Baptist church. So here I am today, and today I am going to share with you something the Lord gave to me a little while ago, and it's called Rewriting the Story. Rewriting the story. And so what I felt the Lord said to me was to go through the scriptures and look at some of the main characters in the Word of God, and also some of the main leaders through history, and to look at how they finished their journey, or what they did on their journey, that if they had an opportunity, they would totally rewrite the story. So today I'm taking two lives, the life of Moses and the life of Evan Roberts. Who's heard of Evan Roberts? Well, we'll find out a little bit about him. So here's my question today. If you had a choice to look back on your life, what part of it would you rewrite? It's a really interesting question. How would we rewrite our story? And as we pull apart today the life of Moses, he was an incredible leader. You know, from being brought up in Pharaoh's palace in Egypt and then becoming the leader of Israel, for 40 years, and just that journey that he went on that journey, you know. And as we look at Moses, he was humble, he was faithful, he was patient, he used wisdom, he was introspective, he was empathetic, he was an incredible leader. And as we look at the life of Moses today, and I often say that if Moses had come to me for counselling, he would finish his life different. You see, we can go forward, but we can't go back. And so many years ago, and Rosemary Riddell is here. So in 1997, I mean, my background is teaching. Been married to Steve for 51 years. We were both teachers and then became pastors. Been pastors for 45 years now. And in 1997, someone came up to me and gave me an envelope. And they said, I was praying and the Lord said to me to give this money to you, Kathy, to go to the David Riddell course in 1997. And so I opened up the envelope, it was quite a bit of money that I didn't have. And they said, Kathy, where you'll take this, what David teaches, is a way beyond what I would be able to do with it. So I went to the David Riddell course for 3 weeks. It was actually a life changer. And out of that, I went to do some counselling training. Totally intend to be a counsellor, just went because I was very spiritual, memorised books of the Bible. I'd been a navigator, and that's what you do in the navigators, you memorise and you study and you evangelise. But I, because of a traumatic background, so much trauma, born in England, came to New Zealand with my parents and my sister, and childhood was devastating. So I was a mess. Became a Christian, got into the Word of God, and was very spiritual. Very spiritual. When I was doing counselling training, one day one of the guys there said to me, Kathy, you're always working out of your intellectual brain. Where are your feelings? And my question was, what are feelings? It's So I was 50 when I went to do counselling training. And now I've journeyed this journey and helping people day after day after day to understand our thinking brain, our feelings, our physiological system, and how we often operate out of the fight, flight, freeze system. So at Richmond New Life, we planted that church, and one day the inner voice of the Holy Spirit said, go outside and look at the birds. So I went out to the trees and here were these birds flying. And he said, how do they fly? And I said, with two wings. That's very bright, wasn't it? And he said, here's the issue, Kathy. The people across the nation in my church are mainly taught to fly with one, just like I had been, the spiritual wing. But he said, I didn't make people just spiritual. I made them with a thinking brain. I made them with an emotional brain. There's your emotional brain right there. Very interesting brain. I made them with a physiology. And I want you to teach people to fly with two wings. So that's my question to you today. Have you learned to fly with two wings? I began to do a study of neuroscience, how the brain works, every part of it. Now I've written over a 300-page manual on neuroscience and therapy. And in doing neuroscience, I totally rewired my brain from background trauma. Suffered from physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse. 1 in 3 girls in our land suffer from sexual abuse, 1 in 6 boys. And they need to be transformed by the renewing of their mind, emotionally, mentally, physiologically. When I discovered there were 640,000 touch detectors in the skin that needed to be rewired, I rewired my eye gate, my ear gate, all my physiology, and was totally set free from background trauma. And that's the journey I've been on now for over 25 years, travelling the nations, doing counselling, just run this week a seminar for Nelson Bays over in Golden Bay, and they've asked me to run some seminars, and it's an honour to be able to take this out into their public arena. So as we look at the life of Moses and we look at history, we are around really right now about 6,000 years from creation, 2,000 years to Abraham, 2,000 years to Christ. They put creation around 4004 BC, Christ about 4 BC when he was born. We're actually coming up to 2,000 years from the resurrection. Amazing, eh? When you look at a time frame. But look at Moses. He was born about 600 years after Abraham, and about 1,400 years before Christ. Chosen by God. As we go back in time, and look and go back in time, and look at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Was he here right in that tree when Adam and Eve were in that garden? And they ate of that tree, they were deceived. Immediately, they lost perfection, and we all hate imperfection. Hands up those who hate being imperfect. We all hate being imperfect. We say, I have to do better, I've mucked up. People come into my counselling room, I realise that everyone said the same thing, I've mucked up, I'm not good enough, I've dropped the ball. Had some really funny expressions of people come in, like one lady walked in and said, oh, Kathy, you'll never believe what I've done this week. And she'd name all these things. Such a muck-up, you know. The simple fact is that we are imperfect. And the Lord is here through the cross to take us on a journey of restoration. Isn't that incredible? Not just spiritually, but mentally, emotionally, and physically. So what happened with the tree of knowledge and good and evil? There was an activation of fear. What got set off? The amygdala. The amygdala is your alarm system in your brain. There it is there. The problem with the amygdala, when the amygdala goes off, it doesn't tell us the truth. It's distorted. It often tells us distorted reality and not the real, true fact. I was listening to this YouTube when I went to a seminar about a year ago, played by a woman from Australia who was working with children. It's 5 and 6 year olds, and 5 and 6 year olds sometimes know the brain better than we do. These 5 and 6 year olds said this. They said, in our brain, we got amygdala. Yeah, amygdala. I'm interrupting. Yeah, amygdala right there, alarm system. Goes off all the time and says, danger, danger, danger. But not dangers. Doesn't tell us the truth. Tell us this danger when only this danger. Amazing, eh? They're now teaching children brain neurology and changing their brains. So there's lots of perfection, imperfection, anxiety of not being good enough, projection. Projection is that often we are the projector and the person we're getting mad with is the wall. We say, you, you, you. I don't know if you ever use a you statement. Well, you did this and you did that. When we're using you statements, we're doing what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. When God said to Adam, did you eat of that fruit? What did he say? Ah, the wife you gave me. Eve. She gave it to me. So he shifted the blame and didn't acknowledge. And what did Eve say? And God said to her, did you eat of that fruit? The snake deceived me. See, it's very hard to acknowledge those things in our own life when we muck up. And so we have that fight, flight, activation. So we're going to pull apart and just look at the end of Moses' life. And as you remember, he was in a basket. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter. He was then for the first 12 years of his life brought up by his mum. That was incredible. Then he went into the palace and brought up by Pharaoh's daughter. He had an issue in his life. And that issue that obviously that he got angry and didn't control his anger. And so when he saw an Egyptian beating up, because he realized that he was an Israelite, he was a Jew, he saw this person beating up this Jew, he got so angry and he killed him. It was then reported to Pharaoh, and he fled from Egypt into the desert. Got married, had 2 sons. 40 years in the desert. The Lord then spoke to him through a burning bush and told him he had to go back to Egypt and lead the people of Israel out to a promised land. And we know that through Abraham, God had made promises and promises concerning this land that he had set aside for the Jews. So Moses went back into Egypt, as we know, through the Red Sea at the age of 80. How about that? Now, if you're 80 and above, well, you're young, because Moses lived to 120. So we can live, if you want to 120. I just say, well, I plan to live to 120. And how about you? Up to you. So he led the children of Israel when he was 80 years of age down into Kadesh Barnea for 18 months. They were there, then sent a member from each tribe into the promised land, and as we know, 2 came back, Joshua and Caleb with a positive report, but 10 with negativity. How does our brain work? If we were to analyze our brain, how much of our brain is positive and how much is negative? It's very interesting, as they looked at the brain, they now know that the right brain, it's your attachment brain, it's your feeling brain, that's got a strong negativity with thinking and feelings. The left brain, and often men use the left brain, they say, yes, the left brain is positive, problem solving, strategic. So what do you use mainly, right brain or left brain? And it's an interesting thing to look at. And so it was when those 12 Spies went into the promised land to view it all out, and 10 came back with a negative report. The Lord said that Moses couldn't now take the children into the promised land yet. They had to go round and round in the wilderness, and they went round and round in the wilderness for 40 years. How old is now Moses? 120. But do you know he had full sight? His body was well. Isn't that incredible? No physical illness whatsoever. And so they came back to Kadesh Barnea. He's ready to take all these people, men and women and children, into the land that God has promised to Abraham. And in Numbers 20 verse 8, the Lord speaks to Moses and said, "You and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community. As the people watch, speak through the rock over there, and it will pour out with water," because they came and there was no water. And they're all grumbling. They're all negative, you know. Say, "We've got no grain, we've got no grapes, we've got no figs, we've got no pomegranates, we've got no water." They were really cross. And Moses had been subjected to that for 40 years, about that. Someone continually negative about everything. The voice of God. It's important to hear the voice of God. I was teaching in Tokoroa, and I wanted to go to Wellington, involved in Navigators there, and I was going, a whole group of people that I knew well in there. So I applied for a job in Wellington, got this thing back through the post to say I've got a job in Wellington. Yes, but something felt really uncomfortable. So I went to prayer. For a whole night, I went to prayer. The Lord gave me two thoughts, two verses. "Your way is through the sea, and you shall return to your teachers." Now, my teachers were in Christ, my Navigator teachers were in Christchurch. "And you do not go from Tokoroa to Wellington through the sea." And the Lord laid on my heart, the place I want you to go is Christchurch. That's where several of my Navigator leaders were. So I said to the Lord, "Okay, if you can get me a job within a week in Christchurch," which was very difficult to get, "I will go to Christchurch." Applied for a job. Within a week, I got a job in Christchurch. You see, sometimes we've got to go and hear the voice of God to what he's telling us to do. That would totally, absolutely, radically change my life. And most wonderful person in my life, who I give honour to today, Steve, who was the worship leader. What did Moses do? You look at verse 10 to 12. "Then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. 'Listen, you rebels,' he shouted. 'Must we bring you water from this rock?' Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice." Well, we're going into his sympathetic nervous system, his fight system, and I'll show you in a minute what he should have done. Hit the rock, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I am giving you." You see, what do we see? Are we seeing half empty? Or are we seeing half full? People of Israel were seeing it half empty. When I work with couples, I now start with getting them to tell me what is the half full about the other person. Rather than the half empty, they don't do this and they don't do that. What is the good? Let's look at the good in each other and in relationships and with our families and praise it. See, Ephesians 4:26, it says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry." Ephesians 4:31 and 32, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you." So Moses couldn't take the children into the promised land. Imagine that. That's what, that was the plan and destiny on his life. And if he was here, he'd go, I wouldn't have hit the rock. I would have spoken to the rock. And he would have led the people. And God said to him, come up Mount Nebo. So Moses went up from the plains of Moab. All the land of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, the land of Judah extending from the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev, the Jordan Valley, the Jericho. So what was the Lord showing him? Not the land that was divided yet, but the land that Joshua was going to take. He was taking him forward to see the land that he would have divided into all these tribes. Isn't God amazing? Right up there on the top of that mountain. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom I said I will give it to your descendants, and I have not allowed you to see it with your own eyes. I have allowed you to see it with your own eyes, but you will not enter the land. Pretty sad, eh? And if we look at the next slide, we'll see all the land that's been promised to Israel. Today they only own about one-fifth of it. And in God's time, that land will be given. So how do we rewrite the story? How do we catch angry reactions? When we get mad and frustrated and irritated and speak, they only say, when we are communicating with one another, only 7% is words. 93% is our face, our tone, our volume. Isn't that interesting? That only 7% is words. You see, I can stand like this. I can stand like different body expression. So the Bible says, catch angry reactions, be in control of your reactions. In James 1:19, my dear brothers and sisters, you must be all what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And one thing I learned, you know, when Steve was telling me something that was useful, but I, because my background was very defensive and would do the defensive pattern, I would say to my brain, shut up. Just shut up and don't say anything. Just listen. He's only telling you that little bit that's helpful. So I would shut my brain up rather than going into my reactive defensive patterns. You see, Moses could have fulfilled his call and mission to take the people of Israel into the promised land if he had managed his angry reactions. And I came up with this acronym, stop. Stop. Before you say something, stop, think. Own your feelings and plan your response. I was working with someone who was in ministry, and he asked if I'd work with his son. I said, yeah, okay. I said, don't normally work with children, but I'm happy to do that. And this boy was ADHD and very reactive and lose the plot. And he was playing football. And they told him, the coach came to him and said, sorry, we're going to have to take you off the team because you're getting mad and angry all the time and reactive, and you need to learn how to manage your emotions. So I worked with this boy. I gave him the word stop. Well, what did he come up with? Clever brain, dumb brain. Clever brain was when he got angry. Do-do-do-do-do. You know? And dumb brain was when he got angry, and clever brain when he settled that down. And eventually his brothers would say to him, come on, clever brain, and he's starting to get mad with them. So if you don't remember anything else today, remember clever brain when you subdue your feelings, dumb brain when you get angry and frustrated. So I want to talk about the flight system of Evan Roberts, 1878 to 1951, 72 years. And lived in England. His dad worked in the coal mines. His dad got an injury. So at 13 years of age, he had to go into the coal mines and work in the coal mines. Once there was a huge fire in there, and he would pray continually. He was a man of prayer. And for 13 years, he just spent all this time in prayer. When they had this huge fire, the only thing that survived in that fire was his Bible. How about that? Amazing. And one time he was praying, he saw this outstretched hand from the moon. The voice of God saying, 100,000 people will be saved in Wales. And he led this incredible revival meetings, 1904 and 1905. Bars, movies, theatres were closed down. Churches joined together. Major reduction of crime. Impacted Wales, England, Ireland, Norway, Russia, South Africa, USA, and Canada. How about that? He carried the anointing to take revival across the nations. 100,000 people, no crime at that time. But what was starting to come through? Criticism from various church leaders. We got very anxious about being elevated above the Lord. Got really, really anxious. And got deceived by a lady called Jessie Penn Lewis in England. Who took him out of Wales, took him to her place. Totally shut him down. What she wanted was his popularity. She deceived him. We've got to be careful. The enemy is a deceiver. He started a whole teaching thing with prayer, and it was incredible. But for much of the time, over a period of time, 8 years, he's totally depressed. Totally shut down. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, the Bible says catch every thought. Catch every thought and change it. If you're ever depressed, the main remedy for depression is action. I was working with someone, and they said to them at work, had a fantastic job, but often they wake up depressed, wouldn't get out of bed, came to me and said, Kathy, I'm going to lose my job, what will I do? I said, well, what I want you to do when you wake up in the morning, ignore your feelings, get up, have a shower, have breakfast, go to work, and don't think about your down feelings until morning tea. And then, if you still feel depressed, go home. Action! In 6 months, they didn't miss one day from work and salvaged their job. See, I want you, as I finish today, looking at Evan Roberts. He did the flight system. From 50, 51 years of age, he just totally withdrew. Depressed, down, didn't fulfill the call of God. Needed to, if he's here today, he would definitely rewrite the story. Deal with depression, deal with the flight system, deal with the down feelings. He was one of the greatest revivalists of all times. And Robert Lee Arden says, to carry the weight that comes with leading a revival, especially for a nation, all three parts of the human being, spirit, soul, and body must be strong. What we think, what we feel. Caroline Leith, who's ever heard of Caroline Leith? She's a South African and wrote a book on rewiring your brain. And she said, change your thinking, change your choices, and you'll change your life. I add to it, change your thinking, because here's your thinking, here's your right brain, left brain. Change your thinking up here, especially in your right brain, because that right brain's quite negative. Change your thinking, change your feelings. Here's your amygdala, your alarm system in your brain. Change your feelings, change your choices, change your behavior, and you will rewrite the story. How about that? Isn't that incredible that we can rewrite our story on a daily basis? And so to rewrite our story, we must fly with two wings, spiritual, mental, emotional, physiological, spiritual, and emotional health. You see, there's a call of God upon all our lives. There's a call of God. You know. You've got to know that call of God. Respond to that call of God. And with two wings, don't do the flight system. Don't do the shutdown system. Deal with the frustration, anger, irritation, and fulfill the call of God upon your lives.